A weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Wilde. I'm Alex Stroh from ESPN Wisconsin. Big one this week, Packers-Steelers on Sunday Night Football. The first time the Packers will play their former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And as Matt LaFleur said earlier this week,
playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about.
And we are going to talk about it indeed. Jason, good morning as we record. Happy Thursday to you.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm curious on, does everybody in the building feel the way Matt LaFleur felt earlier in the week? It seems like he's walked that back a little bit since you've met with him a few more times and talked about this Rodgers versus Packers storyline. But what's the vibe in the building as the Packers face Aaron Rodgers for the first time?
I mean, that's what he's got to say, first of all. Secondly, like, if we compare it, as someone did in Pittsburgh yesterday, to 2009 Packers-Vikings, it's not a nothing burger, but in comparison, it almost is.
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Now, I mean, I will say this. The one parallel, which no one's going to say out loud, is, you know, the quarterback wants to show the GM that he's the better man. And that had he gone, like, down deep inside in a place that he's not going to talk about with the media, Aaron Rodgers is like, you blankety blanker, like, we could have won more Super Bowls. If, for example, I love Jordan, but if you would have drafted T. Higgins instead of my replacement. Like, you know all that stuff is there. Like, that stuff doesn't go away with him. And so the idea that it's just, you know, puppy dogs and ice cream and I'm just looking forward to seeing my guys. He is looking forward to seeing those guys. And his relationship with the floor, I mean, I don't think that they're, like, close, right? But they're amicable. They don't despise each other. Do I think Matt LaFleur has different headaches now than he had when he coached Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely. Mm. Are they easier? Are they harder? I don't know. They're just different. But, like, he was a lot sometimes for Matt LaFleur to deal with. So is Matt LaFleur like, oh, we really got to beat this guy? I don't think so. But the idea that this is just Packers-Steelers, and that's the same as Packers-Cardinals or whatever else, I mean, we all know that's not true.
No, it's not. And I think, to your point on Rodgers, obviously he wants to stick it to Goody, but I think it's the same the other way around, right? I think there's probably, if you put, you know, if he had a few beers, you gave him truth serum, I think Goody wants Jordan Love and company to prove he made the right decision this Sunday night in Pittsburgh.
And also, let's be honest, whatever happens on Sunday night doesn't prove either of those things.
No, it doesn't. But it does momentarily, maybe in the minds of competitors.
Sure. Right. Exactly. You're exactly right. But it doesn't, like, unless Packers win the Super Bowl during the Jordan Love era, which may happen this year, may happen next year, may never happen.
Right.
But unless that happens, you know, you can't completely claim victory. But again, look, this is why I hate topics like this, because when we do them and I take the stances that I do, then it's, oh, he's a Goody hater or whatever else. Look, he has rebuilt the roster with a bunch of young talent. Is any of the talent truly special? Like, we all kind of assume. We all kind of assume, because we've always had guys that were truly special, that some of these guys must be truly special, right? I think Josh Jacobs is truly special.
I agree with that.
I think he is. And I say that as a devoted Aaron Jones guy. I mean, Aaron, I joke about this, but I just think he's another one of those epitome of the type of teammate that I would want to be or I would want to have on my team. I mean, again, getting a hug from him in the locker room in U.S. Bank Stadium when he just got out of the shower and my shirt was a little bit wet was unexpected. But that, like, he is just that guy, right? But I think Josh Jacobs was an upgrade. Xavier McKinney is a truly special player. I know teams have avoided him. He hasn't made as many plays this season, but like he changes the dynamic of that defense. He went out and acquired Micah Parsons. All these guys that he's drafted, many of them have been really good players. But we can't throw him a parade until they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think in the truly special department, I think you can only make a serious case for three guys, and you just made it, right? Micah Parsons is the one you didn't go into detail on, but we don't need to go into detail on what makes Micah Parsons special.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time on him.
Yeah, we sure have. And the other two, free agent acquisitions 2 years ago. But in terms of guys he's drafted that are on this current roster, I don't know if you can definitively say they're special. I mean, you've seen moments from a guy like Edgerton Cooper to make you think maybe – okay, down the line, he could be special. He could be one of the best linebackers
in football.
Not this
season, though, which is a little weird.
No, he's had moments, but he's also had games where it's like, where is he? Which happens. Matthew Golden, you've seen flashes. You know, that's why you draft a receiver in the first round, but it's way too early in his career to go ahead and say he's definitively special. So you're right. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, is special. And he still shows flashes of brilliance during his tenure in Pittsburgh. He's got 2 4 touchdown games this year. You saw it last week in their loss to Cincinnati in the, I believe the kids are calling it the Unk Bowl between him and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I prefer the Icy Hot Bowl. That's a more a term that's more up my alley. But sure. Yes, the Unk Bowl. Yeah,
The Unk Bowl. But you saw he threw a football 69 yards in the air, Jason, at 41.
He did.
At 41 years old.
He did.
That's bizarro world. I mean, that is such a unique talent of his that he can still. I guess not successfully, do because it wasn't caught, but at 41 years old, it's crazy. So we'll see ultimately what this roster is under Goody, but it will ultimately rely on do you win a championship and how many special talents do you have? And right now, I think both of those questions or answers are up in the air.
Right, and I would say that Love has a chance to be special.
I agree.
He does.
I agree.
I am not ruling that out. And do I think as I... And this is just me. Did I feel like Rodgers was more likely special in year 3, which would have been 2009, than I feel Love is most likely special? Yes. I think I had more evidence of Rodgers. And people love to pull out their stats and how they're similar, but it was different. And so I'm not ruling that possibility out, but if you put 2009 Jason Wilde as a little Funko Pop bobblehead guy, and then this one now, and they were standing next to each other, and next to them were the two quarterbacks, the 2009, both of the Jason Wildes would point to the 2009 Rodgers. Now, whether or not that'll be the case a year from now, who knows? But I'm telling you, you felt it. And with Love, you see the possibility of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel it, if that's fair.
I think it's fair. Look, I think you and I are in agreement. I think Jordan Love can be a really, really good quarterback in the National Football League for a long time. I do. I don't think it's crazy to say he may not end up being to the same level of a 4-time league MVP and a Super Bowl champion. I don't think it's insane to say that. Now, commenters may disagree with us on that.
There are people who do think that, by the way. They think that that's a shot at him, then.
It's not a shot. I think Jordan Love is a really good quarterback, or can be an incredibly good quarterback for the next decade plus for this franchise. And there has been flashes of brilliance. Now, when you mention that, right, like there was a feeling. Statistically, they're relatively similar through the first 3 years of their starting careers. But there's also an eye test component to this. Where you just, I mean, I remember when Love took over as the starter, you dubbed the term, which I loved, wow throws. It was something I feel like we talked about on ESPN Wisconsin all the time. That was the same way of saying he's passing the eye test. He made a brilliant decision or a brilliant throw. Rodgers did that all the time, even early on in his career. We haven't seen it as much with Love, despite us both believing he can be a really good quarterback in the NFL.
Dude, he's made some wild throws.
Yeah.
I mean, the throw that he makes to Golden in the Bengals game is a wild throw. Like, I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, I haven't seen Pro Football Focus adopt that as one of its metrics, the wow throws category. But I do think it's one of the ways that you determine whether a guy is special. And look, in fairness to Love, which I have said for years, 2020, he comes in. He's drafted in the first round, but as a project with no intention of playing him right away, unlike other first-round quarterbacks. He has the COVID offseason. He has a disjointed training camp. And he barely deserves credit for that year. Like, he didn't even get to run the scout team. He was the third-string quarterback. And so, you know, did that stunt his development for the first year? Sure, it put him behind schedule. Right? I mean, Rodgers was the backup right away. He was playing for Mike Sherman as a rookie, but he got that work, right? That was not the case here. And then 21, the thing that I always go back to is, and it would have taken more guts because he'd won back-to-back MVPs, but if Brian J. Gutekunst really thought that Jordan Love was ready to be the guy, then he should have traded Aaron Rodgers to Denver for everything that they got for Russell Wilson, and he didn't, because he did not know. And so now, when we give him credit for drafting him, and he deserves credit because that was a bold stroke, and Jordan Love is good, but it comes back when we have a week like this where Rodgers is facing them, that you have to think, okay, you're disappointed in the Rodgers era, right? If you talk to Packers fans, are you satisfied or disappointed with the Rodgers era? I would say that most of them will say disappointed. I don't know if it's 55-45, but the feeling is with 11, 14, 20, 21, not 16, because they had no business going on that run.
No.
He carried that team. But they would say, we should have been in at least another Super Bowl. We should have another ring. That's what Packers fans would say, right? And I get that. I do. But then you have to, if that's how you feel, you have to also say, well, what could not just Aaron Rodgers have done? Who could have played better in some of those playoff games? The elimination games where they lost. No doubt about it. But what could Ted Thompson have done to give him a better chance? What could Mike McCarthy have done? What could have other guys, my God, whether you're Brandon Bostic or you're Julius Peppers, we're at two different ends of the greatness spectrum. Don't tell the guy to lay down when he's going to return a ball, an interception for a touchdown. Don't touch the ball when you're not supposed to touch it. Like, those are out of Rodgers' control. So my point is that there are lots of things that contribute to the Rodgers era not living up to fans' hopes, dreams, and expectations. But we have to at least acknowledge that maybe one of them is, and it could go the other way too. I know I'm rambling. But maybe Rodgers doesn't play at the level he does in 2020 and 2021 if he's not so pissed off that they drafted his replacement. So we'll never know. What I do know is Rodgers is, and I'll let Tom Brady speak for me, the best to ever throw the football. Not the greatest winner, Brady is, but he's the best to ever play the position. And Jordan Love is good, trending toward very good, and we'll see after that.
Yeah. I you were rambling, but it was very good. And also, a quick correction, it is Brian W. Gutekunst. I know you always say, what do you always say?
Yeah, we just always, our thing is everyone's got a J in their middle.
J, that's it.
Yeah. Jesse J. Nelson, yes, Alex J. Strolf.
Yeah.
Jason J. Wilde's actually true.
That's accurate, though. Yeah.
Jehoshaphat.
What'd you just say?
Jehoshaphat, that's my middle name.
Really?
No.
It's Joseph, probably.
It's not. I'm not telling you, and I'm not telling you my social security number either.
Okay, I was going to ask that next. So, on this Rodgers thing, you talk a lot about, and I'm always fascinated with, obviously, the way you build connections, and you're not a fan, right? So you're there to storytell, you're there to be a conduit to the fans. But you will openly admit you root for guys sometimes, right? You build relationships and you want guys to succeed. I think Jordan Love is a good example, right? He's a likable guy. He's awesome with you guys. And he's just got a great story, which equals you want to see him succeed. That doesn't necessarily mean he's your favorite player and you're going to buy his jersey, but you want to see him succeed. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair. Look, there are also people that, that have made him into something that he has not been, that there's part of me that looks at him and goes, all right, does it make me a bad person that I don't want to make him into something he's not? Because, you know, there's been writers, there's certainly other personalities that are like that. But what I would say is my affinity for Jordan Love, the person, having got, like, remember his first 2 years, I never met him.
That's right. Yeah.
I was never in the locker room. And now, you know, it's kind of like it was with Rodgers. Like he, you know, yesterday he's walking by on his way out, and I just say, hey, thanks for being good with us today. Because, look, he's not always good with us, right? He could be boring. But he was really good yesterday talking about Rodgers. And he's like, yeah, I kind of knew what I was in for. And I said, I know you knew what you were in for, but that doesn't mean you had to be good with it. You could have been not good. And he was great. Like, I thought the story, he did a good job. And the Packers.com guys were mad at me because I used the S word to describe how Favre treated Rodgers, and in a question to him about how Rodgers treated him. And he was great. Like, I'm looking forward to, I'm saving that for Sunday. The Love component of this matchup. Right. But I like him. I authentically like him as a guy. And look, there have been guys that have come through that locker room that I definitely didn't. There are a lot of guys that I'm cordial with, but I don't have strong feelings either way. And then there's certain guys that you just, you do want the good things for them. And you're certainly not rooting in the press box for them, and you're not rooting against other guys. But, like, you're happy when you get to write a story that is a good thing for them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that, and I've been criticized for this roundly, that doesn't mean that when you throw an interception at the end of the Browns game, you're not going to get criticized. Because that's my job. Doesn't make me like you any less. And he, again, what I like about him, and then we can move on, is that unlike Aaron, who I have said this to his face, so it's not like I'm saying it behind his back, but would it kill you once in a while to say, my bad, that's
yep.
on me.
Yep.
I can't do that in that situation. This team's counting on me. I can't make that mistake. And how many times did you hear him say that? I don't know if I ever did.
I don't know if I ever have. Well, it's important context, and I'm glad you shared it on the Love side, because I wanted to bring up, obviously, the relationship you developed and had with Rodgers during his time here. You guys obviously did a weekly radio show together prior to the Pat McAfee show when he did that for a while. Tuesdays with Aaron on ESPN Wisconsin. Like, he's met your kids. He's been in your house. Like, you guys had a very good relationship. I know, obviously, that's probably evolved and changed a little bit since he's left Green Bay, but I would imagine in your career, that's probably, in terms of guys you covered, the strongest relationship personally you've ever had, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say that Charles Woodson,
sure,
Al Harris. I mean, there are other guys that I would say that. And I'll say this, like, Charles Woodson is a much better texting correspondent. Now,
didn't you hear you have to FaceTime him? You have to FaceTime Rodgers, yeah.
No, yeah, calling him, yes. But look, the other part of that is he's like that with everybody. Like, his own agent, Ed, said the same thing to me. Like, he's like, the guy's unbelievable. If I text him something random about the office, he'll reply. And then I need him for something like work-related, and he ghosts me. So that's not a statement on his character. I will say, and people always think they know, and that does frustrate me. Like, look, wherever you land politically, wherever you land on vaccines, whatever you feel, okay? Aaron Jones lost his father to COVID, okay? Now, Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers saw each other at that Pittsburgh Vikings game and hugged it out, and so Aaron Jones has not allowed that to alter the fact that he cares about him, even though he was saying things that, frankly, if your dad died from COVID, you would be uncomfortable with. Fair?
I think fair, yeah.
And for me, he was making those statements when Paula was going through chemotherapy and had no immune system when she had breast cancer. So those types of things, we are all people, right? And so, especially when it hits that close to home, there are things that he says that for those of us that it is more personal. I mean, he and I went through a period where I did not speak to him, like not to the level of like his parents, but like, and then I was the one who made the like olive branch, and we now have a good relationship again. It's not nearly what it was, but he's different than he was. I think I'm just older. I am unfortunately, for better or for worse, I am who I am. And that doesn't change. So what I'm saying is that I still care about the guy. It doesn't change how I feel about him. Doesn't change the history I have with him. Was I really pissed when Ian O'Connor's book came out and it depicted me as the one telling him not to say what he really wanted to say about not being gay? Yes, I was really, really pissed because that was the PR guy and not me. And was I angry when I texted him and said, hey, you got this wrong? And his response was not, man, I'm sorry. It was, well, nobody's going to read that book anyway. Yes, I was mad. But again, I think no matter if it's you or if it's Tausch, people that I deal with on a regular basis, or it's him who I don't deal with every day anymore. Like, if you, I've learned this because I, God knows I am a grudge holder to the nth degree with a lot of things.
I can attest. That's true. Yep.
But if you don't find a way to move past those things and make your relationships work, then all you're going to be is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. I think that's very profound, which I rarely give you credit for, but well said. I enjoyed
well
that.
Well said. It's well said.
It's well said.
It's well
said. Yeah. I bring back a joke from last year's Weekly Wildy. I appreciate that. So you guys meet with him today. Zoom meeting with Aaron Rodgers with all of the Green Bay reporters?
No, there's a handful of us that were invited.
Okay. So
and
not
make the I'm sorry.
Not everybody? Not your regular
no.
Okay.
I don't know who else is invited.
Okay.
I know that I am among them.
Okay. Interesting.
But Bert Lawton, their PR director, who's an awesome guy,
this is Pittsburgh's PR director?
Yeah.
Got it.
He's phenomenal. Like, he's one of the best dudes ever. Told us it's going to be 10 minutes.
It ain't going to be 10 minutes.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But the problem is, so I'm like, I am off the charts nervous. Like, I've never been nervous to talk to Aaron Rodgers. Not when we did that whole stupid pre-show powwow about, oh, how are we going to address the Therese, whatever that was, Therese Owens rumors that you're gay. What are you going to say about the replacement refs in the Seattle game? Yeah. Like, I have never been nervous to talk to him. And I'm not nervous to talk to him. The time constraint, like, I want to, and we're all going to get one question at best.
Yeah.
And some of us aren't going to get any. And I don't know if you know this, but my questions tend to be a little more complicated.
I didn't know that, yeah.
To the complicated fella. So I'm trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to ask this. And
that makes it seem like you have one question in the holster. What is it?
Well, no, this is a throwback too to the COVID era where you got called on, right? And you don't know what other people are planning on asking. And so if Alex Strofe is in the Zoom call with Devontae Adams or whoever, there's another one that's one of my guys, but Randall Cobb, I shouldn't have left them off the list. But like, if the person in front of you asked the question you were planning on asking, you better have a backup plan,
mm-hmm.
right? Because then you get called on. It's not like a press conference where, oh, Strofe asked my question. Now I'm just going to sit here and not ask anything. No, someone's calling on me. So I do think, but I think someone else is working on a similar story. So I'm going to guess that they're going to ask him about his intentional approach with love in terms of, but again, like, I don't know if that guy's going to get to go before me or after me. So if I go first, do I ask that one? Because I need that for my Sunday story. But the thing that I'm really interested in is he's not doing McAfee. I have not heard of him other than sounding off on the crappy turf that they play on at that stadium. I haven't heard. Have you heard him say anything controversial?
No. So this was something I was going to ask you about. It's a different approach from him in what is likely his final year.
And then you've got Jeremy Fowler saying that the Steelers already feel they want him back next year. So, there's so many layers, and I just don't know how it's going to work out.
I'm shocked they put a time constraint on it. Because, I mean, if we know anything about Aaron Rodgers, he'll talk to you as long as he needs to talk to you guys. He was always that
way. They're doing it like 10 minutes before he's got a meeting.
Odd.
So, I don't know, Jim.
Huh. That's a lot. I didn't know that.
13 minutes at his locker yesterday. Yeah, it was 13 minutes at his locker. So, I don't. And the last thing you want to be, like, it's fine. Like, when he was here, except for that period where I was really mad at him, I would still ask questions in the group because I had a job to do. But there was no, like, cordial conversation, right? Which we had for 15 years or whatever it had been. I could just go up to him and say, hey, I didn't get to ask this in a group. Do you have a quick second? And he would always accommodate me, right? In this instance, like, you got to shoot your shot, and you better be concise, because every second you use is time that we're not going to have for the answers. So this is stressing me out.
I can tell.
And I don't, guy. I mean, I worry a lot about the girls and everything,
yeah.
But I do not stress about my job.
Rarely.
So there you go. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
A look behind the scenes with Jason Wilde. That was enjoyable. All right. We got a couple minutes left. This Rodgers thing is exciting. I'm sad to learn that you're not going to Pittsburgh, but I understand you don't travel a whole lot these days to the road games. Are you picking up a cat? What's happening?
Just turning on my Comrex machine to get ready for Wilde and Tausch, sure. So I can give you a few extra minutes before we have to
look
start
at you, look
our
at you
actual live show.
Accommodating me like Aaron Rodgers used to accommodate you. I see what you did
for
there.
Sure.
Yeah. But coming out for the win at Arizona, it seems like this team loves playing close games, but I think they're a good team all in all. Obviously, Micah Parsons has a huge day. I thought Jordan Love was pretty good. Jacobs is a touchdown machine for this team. It seems like they have a winning recipe, but it's not maybe as sexy as you'd expect.
Yeah, there's a few things there, obviously. Like, is there part of me that would like to have gone to Pittsburgh? Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I was. And at the same time, like, I'd be doing that more for selfish reasons. Like, I don't think I'll cover the game any worse. Again, another thing from COVID. Like, I never covered games that I didn't attend. And then obviously that changed the realm. And, you know, I do have FOMO a little bit. I will admit that. And I don't have that for every game, but I have FOMO for this one. That said, you know, I don't know. Based on how tight of a leash they have him on, like, I don't think I wouldn't have gotten a one-on-one with him if I'd have gone out there. Because sure. I think Matt Schneidman was going to do that. And they told him, look, you're going to get the same access as everybody else. So he didn't go. So I feel okay about not going. It'd be fun to be at the game. I get that. As far as the way this team is playing, I don't think I have them anything close to figured out. But I don't think Matt LaFleur does either.
I don't either. I agree with you on that.
And so I don't feel bad about not having them figured out. So, look, they are a flawed football team. So are all the other contenders.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure whatever the equivalent is for the two knuckleheads doing the same show in Tampa Bay, they're saying the same thing, right? The Detroit guys, TJ Lang is on the radio there.
Yes, yeah.
Like, I'm sure TJ Lang's saying something similar about them. Like, you feel like they're a lot better than they were when they saw the Packers. And I'll say this. The one game that I am kind of – I would like to figure out a way to go to other than Chicago and Minnesota like I always do is Detroit. I would like to – I'm intrigued by that game now. That'll be interesting.
Sure will be.
And so, like, they've got a long way to go to figure themselves out. But there are incredibly encouraging signs. Like, You get Watson back, it changes the dynamic of your offense because you've already got Golden. Reed will be back eventually. Now, for the crowd that says they're spreading it around too much, that won't help. I don't know. I don't think Wicks did anything yesterday. So I'm skeptical of his availability. But, Tucker Kraft, when he gets opportunities, has been productive. You know what you have in Romeo Doubs. You know what you have in Josh Jacobs. Ugh. I mean, I don't know how you don't love that guy.
He's amazing. Packers fan. Touchdown machine, man.
And Love was clutch in the Arizona game. Yeah. He was legitimately clutch. We can say what we want about the end of Dallas, the end of Cleveland, but against Arizona, he came through big time.
Big time.
So there's and the problem that I have with figuring out what these guys are is the one thing that I thought I was sure of was the defense. And now I know it's like Gladys Knight and the Pips. This Micah Parsons fella, he's great. What about the rest of the guys? How good are they really? I thought Quay Walker played really well in that game.
I did too.
Edgerrin Cooper.
Meh. Had a nice pass breakup on Trey McBride, but
yeah, he did. Absolutely. But he was, Homer's been anointing him, ever since he won Defensive Player of the Week twice as a rookie. It wasn't even the rookie award. It was the real award. Yeah. But you got to keep growing, right? And yeah. You got, people figure out what your weaknesses are. So he's got to have more of an impact. Rashawn Gary had an impact play in the Arizona game, forcing the turnover. His production has been inconsistent, though, even when Micah Parsons there. So there's just so much farther to go in this journey.
Yes.
That I just don't know where it's going
to
end.
But I would say, to your point, it feels like as we approach the end of October here, typically in an NFL season, I feel like teams start separating themselves a little bit now, like around the week 7, week 8 portion of the season, about midway through. Doesn't feel like that's happening this year. Now, it seems like the Chiefs are starting to figure it out as they get Rashee Rice back. To your point, it seems like Detroit's playing better football, but they just lost last week. They beat Tampa Bay, obviously.
To Kansas City.
And they beat Tampa Bay on Monday night. We thought Tampa Bay was good. Indianapolis is the best record in football. There's a lot of confusing things going on this year. It feels like that's not happening as much this year. It feels like there's a lot more. The parity is much stronger this year than past years.
Right. And I mean, I predicted that Indianapolis was going to have the best record in the league.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
Yep, I did. Yeah. You may have missed that episode of Weekly Wildy.
I may have.
Smaller story, but I know you've been following it. No, I agree. And I don't know what to make of Philly, right? There is definitely a version of this show in Philly that a couple weeks ago, I mean, they probably swear on it because it's on YouTube primarily.
And it's Philly.
What the blank is wrong with these blank and blankers? And then I thought they were pretty impressive.
I don't know if they drop you knows in Philly like we do in Wisconsin.
No, I was saying I had ended the quote from that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
What is Minnesota? What is Minnesota?
Minnesota screwed up by not bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. All right, last thing.
That I can agree with.
Last thing for you. You mentioned Christian Watson before. Do we have an update on his status for this week?
Well, he talked yesterday like he's playing.
Great. Great.
And I would be curious to know. I mean, if he's saying that, I feel like they would have told him already. They're not going to spring it on him at the end of the week.
No.
Oh, you're good to go. So the fact that he spoke that way leads me to believe he's going to play.
Now.
And he had an answer, because the one question I was going to ask him, somebody else asked it for me, was, dude, this field sucks.
That's
the question. Do you really
want to
come back on this field?
Yeah.
And his line was, if I'm worried about the surface, I shouldn't be out there to begin with, or something to that effect. And in fairness to him, the week after, they play the Carolina Panthers at Lambeau Field, which is where he tore his ACL.
Yeah. Can't worry about the surface. He's right about that.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's we're ending on a high note. It's Aaron Rodgers week for the Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers, Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. Jason, we will talk further during the 5 o'clock central hour of Green Bay game day on Sunday night, a late Green Bay game day this week. And obviously we'll be listening to you on Wilde and Tauscha today and Friday ahead of Packers-Steelers. Big one coming up on Sunday. This is a fun one. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for your service, Alex Strolf.
Take care. Be good, Jason.
You too.